नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरे नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति अनैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। विप्रान् स्वलाभ संतुष्टान् साधुन भूत सुहत्मान् निरहंकारिण शास्तान् नैमत्स्ये शिरस्सासकृत विप्रान् स्वलाभ संतुष्टान् साधुन भूत सुहत्मान् निरंकारिण शांतन नमस्ये शिरसास्कृत विप्रान् स्वलाभ संतुष्टान् साधुन भूत सुहत्मान् निरहंकारिण शांतन न मनस्य शिरसास्य कृत लेडीज
प्रांसलाभ संतुष्टा
विप्रान टू द लर्नेड ब्राह्मण्स स्व देयर ओन लाभ बाय द गेन शांतुष्टान संतुष्टान सेटिस्फाइड साधुन सेंटली भूता ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज सुहर्त तामन प्रमन द बेस्ट वेल विशिंग फ्रेंड Nirahankarina, devoid of false ego, Shantan, peaceful, Namaste, I bow down, Sirsa, with my head, Askrita, again and again. Translation and purport by the disciple Srila Prabhupada. I repeatedly bow my head in respect to those Brahmans who are satisfied with their lot. Saintly, prideless and peaceful, they are the best well-wishers of all living entities. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that Swalabh also means achieving one's self, or in other words, self-realization. Thus, an advanced Brahman is always satisfied with his spiritual understanding, never depending on material formalities or facilities.
Om Ajnan Timurandhasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Militen Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Name Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhut Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swayapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Lagunatam Vidam Tamsajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deen Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhayevcha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare First of all I have to say that I have to speak on a subject about Brahman, which is a very elevated subject. I am not qualified for that because I don't have any qualities to describe the glories of the Brahman. So I seek your blessings for all of you so that I can be empowered to speak something. So this is the shloka is shloka 33 of canto 10 chapter 52. The chapter is titled Rukmani's Message to Krishna. So the story goes like that, that Bhishma was a great powerful and pious king of Vidarbha. He had 4 sons and 1 daughter. Since he was a pious king, so many saintly persons used to come and they used to sing the glories of Krishna. His beauty, his transcendental qualities, his attractive pastimes and his relationship, loving relationship with the Brijvasis. So it was natural for the persons who hear about Krishna to be attracted, and particularly Rukmani, who was the youngest daughter of Bhishmaka, she got attracted to Krishna and she decided that he is a perfect husband for me. So all the family members were favorable to marry Rukmani to Krishna. But the eldest son, Rukmi, was very envious of Krishna. And therefore he forbade them not to marry her to Krishna. On the contrary, he has a friend named Shishupal, who too was very envious of Krishna. And so he decided to marry Rukmani to Shishupal. So this was a very difficult situation for Rukmani. Marriage preparations were going on. It was an emergency and critical situation. And Rukmani was very upset. So she had a qualified and trustworthy Brahman, and she sent a message to Dwarka through him to Krishna. So this is the Radha Gopinath Prabhu said in one of the letters, in one of the lectures, that is the first, which will be discussed maybe after a few days, the first recorded love letter in the history of the human beings, recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, as we all know, Krishna is a very that Brahman reached Dwarka, and Krishna very respectfully welcomed him, washed his feet, and then worshipped him. So it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the previous shlok, that Krishna worshipped that Brahman as if the demigods is worshipping Krishna. So Krishna worship is compared to that of the Brahmans. Matlab, he has put Brahmans on the so much elevated platform. So after, we see the similar instance in the case of Sudama Vipra. When he reached Dwarka to meet his friend, he was in a very dirty, torn clothes. But when Krishna learned that Sudama has come, not only his friend, but he is a great Brahman, perfect Brahman, Krishna came and embraced him. So Sudama Vipra was thinking that Krishna embraces only two personalities, one Baldev and second Rukmani. And he is embracing me. It means how much is respect and love he is giving to me. So he made Sudama sit on his own seat. Rukmani Devi was fanning him. He washed his feet and sprinkled the water on his head. So we see that Krishna, by this and many other places, he is trying to establish a tradition by himself. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, is establishing the tradition how a perfect Brahman has to be worshipped, has to be respected. So then when that Brahman has ate and taken rest, then Krishna, while massaging his feet, he inquired two things. So from shlok 30, 31, 32 and 33, these three shlokas are in sequence. So I would like to read the previous shlokas to give an idea of what Krishna actually has in mind. Shlok number, verse number 30. The Supreme Lord said, O best of exalted Brahmans, Krishna is sitting in the heart of everyone. So he knows the position of the person, who is a real Brahman, who is a perfect Brahman, and who is a pakhandi, hypocrite. So he knows, he is telling him, O best of the exalted Brahmans, are your religious practices sanctioned by senior authorities, proceeding without great difficulty? Is your mind always fully satisfied? He puts forward two points, which are the basis of a Brahman to follow. And the other shlokas, three, are following these two points. One point is that, are your religious practices, a Brahman is supposed to perform religious practices as sanctioned by the Shastra, by the previous Acharyas, without great difficulty. Great difficulty means that difficulties have to come, but that Brahman is not disturbed by that difficulties. He continues performing whatever difficulties came in his path. And is your mind fully satisfied? This is one of the important aspects. If the mind is not fully satisfied, then the religious practices will not be perfect. He will not be able to carry out the religious practices. So these two points are the basic points, goals for a Brahman to perform. The next shlok says, when a Brahman is satisfied with whatever comes his way and does not fall away from his religious duties, those very religious principles become his desire cow, fulfilling his all desires. Following or pursuing the religious principles is the only desire of the Brahman. So he is fully satisfied because he is able to perform the religious practices according to the Shastra. And then in 32, Krishna says, an unsatisfied Brahman wanders restlessly from one planet to another, even if he becomes a king of heaven. But a satisfied Brahman, though he may possess nothing, rests peacefully, all his limbs free of distress. But he is peaceful, not only his mind, but his body is also peaceful. And then this shlok, which we are reading. So,
the
main emphasis of Krishna here is on the satisfied mind or the unsatisfied mind. Because when a person is unsatisfied, Brahman is satisfied, then he starts describe how he is roaming about the whole world. Even if he gets the kingdom of the heaven, he will not be satisfied. But when a Brahman is satisfied, then everything is in order. Because whatever comes his way, he will surpass all that. So, what is the cause or the reason for unsatisfaction? I've tried to think about it. I don't know whether I'm right or not. But a person who is unsatisfied means he is in the material consciousness. Because he is externally depending on many things, situations, conditions, which are out of his control. And what he may desire may not come true, may not be the result. And when he is not getting the result because he thinks himself is the karta, I am the doer, I am doing it, result should come. When it doesn't come, it means he becomes frustrated, he grudges and then becomes unsatisfied. So because of the material consciousness, such Brahman is not able to be satisfied. He is always unsatisfied because, like Shukracharya, he was such a powerful Brahman. But when Bali Maharaj wanted to give to Vamandev his vows, fulfilled vows, he was disturbed because he was totally dependent for his opulences on Bali Maharaj. And he thought, if Bali Maharaj loses everything, then what will be my position? I will also lose all the opulences. So he was actually... Bali Maharaj told him that the purpose of life is to surrender to Krishna, and you taught me like this, but now you are stopping me because the selfish interest of Shukracharya, because he was in the material consciousness that what will happen to me, what will to happen to my opulence. But a satisfied Brahman, his consciousness is his spiritual consciousness. He is fully surrendered to Krishna. Fully is dependent on Krishna. Whatever is happening in his life, he thinks that it is due to his prarabdha. It is Krishna's wish. Because Krishna is perfect, what happens in my life is also perfect. And I should accept it gracefully, happily. And therefore, he is satisfied in all situations. So, the difference between the two Brahmans is that one is in material consciousness and another is in spiritual consciousness. This is what I could understand. You may correct me. So, this satisfaction or dissatisfaction is a state of mind and is very subtle. It is very difficult to judge a person from appearance, but from his actions it can be clear. So, unless we have an example to understand who can be a satisfied person, in a practical way, it may be a speculation, this may be satisfied, this may be satisfied. But again, we have a very exemplary example of a satisfied Brahman. Again, Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra was a childhood friend of Krishna. They studied in the same Sandipya Ashram. And it is described that he was a perfect Brahman because of his spiritual advancement. And since he was spiritually advanced, he knew the difference between the soul and the matter. He was not attached to these material pleasures. He was not attached or attracted to the material opulences. He was completely peaceful because he dependent on Krishna, and therefore he has no desire for sense enjoyment. So this is an example. He was a grihastha family man. He had a wife and children. But he was very poor. He was not able to even cover his body properly, even have sufficient food, nourishing food to maintain the body. Very weak. His wife, children, very weak. But he never deviated from the path. He never actually endeavored or thought that I should accumulate wealth to enjoy the pleasures of this world. He was satisfied in whatever position he was. And we find in a discussion Krishna had with Sudama in the night. These two points actually comes very prominent, that one should be performing the religious practices very nicely, without disturbance, and he should be satisfied. So these two points also have been prominent in the discussions. So let us try to understand who is a Brahman. So as we know that when a living entity comes to this material world, he gets different bodies. 84 species of life, he gets different bodies. But in human form is the most considered to be the most advanced in consciousness and intelligence. But human form also, everybody has the same quality of soul, same nature of the soul. Although in other species also the same soul is the seer, but in human form of life there is the same soul, same nature. But Krishna makes a distinction between the human beings according to their qualities and work, activities. As Bhagavad Gita 4:13 says, Chaturvarna Maya system Gunakarma Vibhag says. So why these four divisions Krishna make in human beings? Because it is Krishna's plan. Because the three modes of material nature are very prominent in human beings. So Krishna says, because of the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, four divisions of the human society have been created by me. He has created the human with four divisions. And Brahma Samhita says, this Srimad Bhagavatam describes that these four divisions are like the body of the human being. Brahmans represent the head, which is considered to be in the mode of goodness. And a perfect Brahman is purely in the mode of goodness. He has no contamination of other in ignorance and passion. The arms are the kshatriyas. They are in the mode of passion. The belly is the vaishyas. Vaishyas are the bellies of Krishna. And they are in the mode of passion and ignorance. And Shudras are the legs of the body, which is totally in the mode of. So we find that Brahman comes as the head. Head means everything is there. Eyes are there, ears are there, he can see, he can hear. Nose is there, from where he can breathe, which is the life air. If he cannot breathe, the body will die. He mouth, from where he can speak and eat. So everything is there in the head. And overall brain is there. So the head is directing the total body how to work. If the head is not, brain is not working properly, then the total body is useless. When we say that a person is brain dead, it means no part of the body is working. So Brahman are compared to the head. If there is some problem with the head, then the other three will also face the problem. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj used to say that it is a whatever is lacking in this world is a lack of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means there are no Brahmans who can preach Krishna consciousness, who can teach Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, it is a godless society. Godless society because there is nobody to guide them. So Prabhupada said, I am making Brahmans. So that they imbibe the qualities of Brahman and they preach their own behavior and preach to the whole world what is the real purpose of life. So Brahmins are the head, very essential. I am going for my treatment in Tuman Mataji. She is a devotee, Maharaj disciple, Aarti Mataji. She is doing acupuncture. So I go there. So there is one person who comes there. And he had a problem that his left arm and leg is not moving. So he got tested, MRI, CT scan. And then they came to know that there is some white patch in one part of the brain which is not sending signal to the left arm and the leg. So even if there is some problem in some part, the body cannot function properly. So there has to be perfect Brahminal qualities. Even if some Brahmins are there who are not proper Brahmins and they are posing as Brahmins, they can create a lot of problem in the society. So that today's society is actually a Brahmanless society. In the previous ages, the king used to take advice from the Brahmins, who were elevated, spiritually advanced Brahmins, and work on that. But today, government, there is no person, no Brahman to advise them how to work. And therefore we see it in the entire world how the population is suffering, how everybody is suffering, because there is no head. Kshatriyas, which are supposed to protect the citizens, they are actually exploiting the citizens. Everything is topsy-turvy. Nothing is functional properly because there is no Brahman. So Prabhupada wanted Bharat Bhumile Mahalashtuye Janm Jar Janm Sathar Karkar Rupkar, that it is India who has the spiritual knowledge. They have to create Brahmins so that they can preach to the entire world like a Brahman how society should work. So this is the position of a Brahman. So it is also said that mode of goodness means greater knowledge and greater happiness. In the mode of goodness, people are generally very satisfied and very happy because of their spiritual knowledge. So qualities of Brahman are given in Bhagavad Gita as well as in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Bhagavad Gita 18 chapter 42 verse, the qualities are given as: he is peaceful, self-controlled, austere, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge and righteousness. It is by no means exhaustive, because there may be so many qualities which come with it. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 11th chapter, 21st verse, while describing the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, it has been described control of mind and senses. Again, same thing. Austerity and penances is the ornament of the Brahmins. Satisfaction, this word is added. Satisfaction of Brahman is very essential, which is Krishna is emphasizing on that in this shloka, in 3-4 shlokas. Forgiveness, simplicity, again. Knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, complete surrender to Krishna. So, in 7th canto, 14 chapters, 41 verse, Sukhdev Goswami is described to Maharaj Parikshit the exalted position of a Brahman. He says that of all persons, a qualified Brahman must be accepted as the best of in the material world. Qualified Brahman must be accepted as the best in the material world. Because such a Brahman, by practicing austerity, Vedic studies and satisfaction, becomes the counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Becomes representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He becomes the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is spiritually advanced. He is practicing what Krishna says. Then he becomes representative, fully conversant with the transcendental matters. Therefore, Brahman is intelligent enough to solve the problems of life, because he knows that the real problem of life is birth, old age, disease and death. So he is intelligent enough to solve the problems of life. No more material body and no more sufferings. So this is how Brahman. So Vishnu Chakravarti says, and it is also in the Man Samhita, that there are six occupational duty of a Brahman. Three are compulsory and three are subordinate. Vedic studies is one of them, worshipping deities and giving charity. Charity does not mean giving money, but giving spiritual knowledge to others. Highest charity, highest welfare work. And there are three subordinate things. He should accept charity because he has to maintain himself. That becomes a source of his livelihood. He has to teach people like a guru. And he has to induce people to worship the deities. These are the three secondary duties of a Brahman. So there are six occupational duties, has been described. And therefore it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all religious, of Vedic knowledge. Krishna is the source of all Vedic knowledge. He is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. And he is the root of all religion. Dharma tu sakshat Bhagavat Prinita. He is the root of all religion. Therefore, a Brahman who is following and practicing the religious principles, imbibing those principles in his behavior, in his life, he becomes a moving scripture. He becomes a living example of a bhakta, of a Brahman. He becomes a living example. And he becomes a source of evidence that this is the Shastra, this is how we have to interpret it, this is the person who is following the Shastra, he imbibes of good quality, he becomes the evidence of the Shastra, such a person, by living like a scripture. So, in such a life of such a Brahman, he is fully satisfied, not only in his mind, his soul is satisfied, and it is said that his own, even his body is satisfied, such a Brahman. Because he is not after sense gratification. He is fully satisfied. His senses are fully satisfied in the service of Krishna. So everything is for such a Brahman satisfied because he is spiritually advanced, satisfied and pursuing the religious path. So we come to conclusion that Brahman means simple living, high thinking. Simple living, he is satisfied whatever he has, and high thinking that he knows the purpose of life. Purpose of life is to render loving devotional service to Krishna and to awaken love for Krishna. So this is, he becomes a perfect person as a Brahman. So in Vedic literature there is a prayer, Namo Brahmana Devya Goma Manitaya Che. So they are praying, my Lord, you are the well-wisher and protector of the Brahman and the cows. Brahman represent Vedic education, spiritual things, and cow represent the valuable food. So Krishna is protecting and is the well-wisher of these things. So Maharaj many times said that a civilization, whether it is advanced or fallen, is judged by the fact how the Brahmins and cows are treated, cared, and served and protected. So this is the standard, how do we see whether the civilization is advancing or it is fallen. So why Brahmins are worshipable, I will try to discuss this a little bit. In chapter 69 shlok, Krishna says, Necha tasman manusheshu kaschin ye me priyakatam. The Brahman, Prabhupada says in the purport, the Brahmans by their preaching satisfy the three worlds with the dust of their lotus feet. Krishna says that there is nobody dearer to me in the past, in the future, present, except those who are preaching my glories. So here Prabhupada says, the Brahmins by their preaching satisfy the three worlds with the dust of their lotus feet, and although they worship Krishna, Brahmins worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord also recognizes them as worshipable because they are doing the job of Krishna. They are presenting Krishna by spreading his message. The relationship is therefore reciprocal. Krishna is worshipping Brahmins and Brahmins are worshipping Krishna. Therefore, the Brahmins must be worshipped. Prabhupada says that Brahmins therefore must be worshipped by all the religions, even philosophers and people in general. They should be worshipped because of that. So, now the question comes, the difference between Brahman and the Vaishnava. We are sometimes actually confused whether we are Brahmins or we are Vaishnavas, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I am neither a Brahman, not a Kshatriya, nor a Shudra, or Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyas. I am not that. Because he is not talking on the bodily platform. He is talking about the Atma. I am the servant of the servant of servant of Krishna. So, when we get Brahman Diksha, what it means then? If we are, but at the same time, Vaishnava is all. He is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishnava, Shudra. He is all. Because for the purpose of rendering service to Krishna, he can accept the role of any of them. He can act as a pujari for worshipping Krishna. He can act as a Kshatriya. When something happens to the devotees or the temple, some threat is there, he acts like a Kshatriya. For the maintenance of the temple, he acts like a Vaishya, so that he can earn money to render service to Krishna. And he can act as a Shudra by cleaning the temple hall, by cleaning the toilets, everything for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. So he is neither, but he is all. So this is a special quality. So we have to, what is the meaning of Diksha then? Brahman Diksha, what is the meaning of Brahman Diksha? What is the significance when we say that we are not Brahmans? So, to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, one has to be Brahman. Prabhupada says, in one of the purports, with the above qualities of Brahman. It is not that we have to become Brahman, but we have to imbibe the qualities of a Brahman. That is the significance of Brahman Diksha. Because a Vaishnava is superior to Brahman, and a Brahman knows why Vaishnava is superior to Brahman, ordinary Brahmans, because Brahman knows that he is not body, but his spirit soul. But Vaishnava knows that he is not body and his spirit soul, but also that he is the eternal servant of Krishna and his eternal duty is to serve Krishna. So that is the difference. So we are not Brahmins, but we are Vaishnavas because we transcend the Brahman in that sense. So there are some things about written by Brahman. Sri Krishna is also known as Brahman Dev, which means who is worshipped by Brahmins. Brahman Dev. Therefore, it can be concluded that a devotee who is fully surrendered to Krishna has attained the status of a Brahman. Automatically, if a person is fully surrendered to Krishna and worshipping him with all his heart, then he is automatically a Brahman, because a person has to be surrendered, because Brahman worship Krishna. Without becoming a Brahman, one cannot teach Krishna. It also Prabhupada said that without becoming or imbibing the qualities of a Brahman, one cannot reach Krishna, because he cannot reach Krishna without that, without those qualities of a Brahman. It is also said that Brahmana Vaishnava, a possessor of Brahmanical qualities, is a devotee of Krishna, and the Lord is pleased with such person, because a perfect Vaishnava is a perfect Brahman. We have to understand that a perfect Brahman becomes a perfect Vaishnava, and perfect Vaishnava becomes a perfect Brahman. So, about the satisfaction, we have discussed about Sudama Vipra, but I would like to narrate two small stories. One may be Dant Katha, one may be real story. So, Dantkatha is that I heard from a devotee in a lecture. There were two, a couple known as Ranga and Banga. They were very devoted to Krishna, very, very, very poor. But they were fully satisfied with rendering service to Krishna. At that time, Saint Namdev was there, and his heart was broken to see the poverty of those persons. So he prayed to Krishna that please give them some wealth, they should live comfortably. And Krishna told to him that, I have tried many times, but they have not accepted anything. So he told Krishna that, try once again. So what he did that, while they had gone to the forest to cut, accumulate the dry branches of the wood, and they were coming back, so Krishna placed a bag of gold coins there. So the husband Ranga was coming forward, wife was come quite back, and when he saw, then he thought that gold coins, if my wife sees it, I am detached fully, but if my wife sees this, she might be attracted, because women are generally attracted to gold. So he wanted to put dirt on that bag. And at that time, his wife came. And she also saw that they are gold coins and is putting dirt on that. So he told her husband that, why you are taking so much trouble? You are putting dirt on dirt. His wife was more advanced because she did not appreciate between dirt and the gold. And they made for them. Because they were so detached, they were so satisfied in themselves, they did not care for that. Another small story I want to say, it is my daughter-in-law, Ansuya, his great-grandfather, they were staying in Dera Ismail Khan, which was Pakistan at that time. So I was told that he was a very, very devoted of Srinath ji, Gopal ji. And he had a shop. So he had in his mind that if I earn 4 anas in a day, at that time, maybe 80, 90 years back, 4 anas had a meaning. Even, may not be knowing, 4 paisa made a ana, and 10 anas make a rupee at that time. And 1 paisa had also bifurcation, kaudis and damlis. We may not be knowing about that. So he had in mind that if I earn 4 anas, I will close the shop and go to my house to serve my duties. This was his satisfaction. So he was always prayed to the Lord, if you give me 4 anas in 2 hours, I will close the shop and go and serve you. If you give me 4 anas in a day, then I am helpless serving you. So this is a real story, and he used to associate with the Sufis saints. He was so advanced. So this is, actually everybody has to have his own limits. One has to create his own limits. But the goal should be known. So at the time of partition, when they were coming back to India, he had his deities who he was serving. So their plane came, and people rushed towards that, but since he was carrying the luggage, he was told that you cannot carry any luggage with you. So all his family members went, but I cannot leave my duties and go. I will be here. And his eldest son remained with him. I have to serve him. I cannot leave him. This was his devotion. He never cared for his life, what will happen to him. And Krishna sees all this. He is the protector of the devotees. So after 1 hour, another plane came, and there was not much crowd there left, and nobody checked the luggage, and they came to India. So this is example how person in Krishna, devotee of Krishna, is satisfied. So we have discussed that these 2 points we have discussed today, that performing religious principles without disturbance and satisfaction. So if we have these goals in life. We have to imbibe Vaishnava qualities to reach these goals. Actually, these two broad goals. And for reaching these two broad goals, we have to imbibe Vaishnava qualities. And everybody is an individual. Some are very serious, some are not very serious. Somebody can run fast, somebody can go slow. But if we have the goal in life, or we have these two goals in life, that we have to reach these goals, then we should move, whether fast or slow. And I end my lecture with this very important, very actually encouraging saying, that if you cannot fly, run. If you cannot run, walk. If you cannot walk, crawl. But move towards the goal. So, whatever our situation is, if we have these two goals in our mind, and we have to proceed towards that, we have to imbibe these qualities and proceed towards that. And try to become Brahman in the true sense, so that we can please Krishna. Hare Krishna. I am not qualified, but I have tried to, whatever came into my mind. So, if you have any doubts or any questions or some comments, please. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. So, Prabhupada.